Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. As the guy just said, I'm not even sure who that is. Got a great voice, though. I'm Ed Vitagliano, sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Steve Jordahl and Chris Woodward. All right, Steve, line them up and knock them down.
All right. I wanted to go over a little bit of this while we're waiting on our guest here. I wanted to go a little bit over let me give this to Chris. I want to go over a little bit over the silliness that we have seen. You know, we like to hear from Joe Biden every once in a while.
Oh, I love it.
Well, Joe Biden was on with a bunch of nurses the other day. It was a video event from his basement, and when our producer gets back, we'll be able to play the clip. But he was talking. It's interesting. This was a national broadcast on Skype or online. Mm-hmm. He had 19 people watching. 19.
Yeah, you mentioned that this morning. Now, listen, now Joe Biden, because of the coronavirus, has been doing very, very few events. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's doing any kind of rallies. And his interviews are rare as well. Now, those he can do, you know, long distance,
right.
Skype, or I don't know what the preferred, you know, FaceTime, Zoom, you know, when they interview. I don't know what's preferred by the news media.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do a whole lot of those either.
No.
And most of these are from his basement. We have kind of made fun a little bit of the goose or the geese episode, mm-hmm. when he was doing something from his basement and someone had left the door open and there were geese in the background and there were birds and everything like that. So this one here that we're going to kind of have a little fun with. Okay, set this up, Steve.
All right, so Joe Biden was talking with these nurses, and he was recounting a time when he was being helped by nurses, but it's just a little strange. I want you to listen to cut 9.
And I had a nurse at Walter Reed Hospital who would bend down and whisper in my ear.
Wow.
And go home and get me pillows. They would make sure they'd actually... Probably nothing ever taught in, you can't do it in the COVID time, but they'd actually breathe in my nostrils to make me move, to get me moving.
That's just...
First of all, who is this interview with?
It's with a nurses, nurses association, I guess.
Did I misunderstand
she
that?
She said, wow.
Wow. Wow. All right, so we're having a little fun with this.
I was incredulous, too. I mean, I was kind of like, wow, when I heard it.
For different reasons.
Breathing, so, didn't God breathe in somebody's nostrils to bring life to them?
Yeah, I think it was that guy named Adam.
Strange thing.
Now, he claimed that nurses breathe into his nostrils to kind of make him alert.
Apparently. I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. What was he suffering from?
Someone said he had some aneurysms back in the 80s. Which is no laughing matter.
No.
And that is what he was talking about, his experience back then, 30-plus years ago. I'm curious as to whether or not those nurses are still working. And if you know one of those nurses, I put out a request today via Twitter to try to interview one of them.
Right.
So now, by the way, we do want a tip of the hat to the nation's nurses.
Absolutely.
They do just an amazing job in taking care of folks who are in the hospital. So please... We're not making fun of nurses. I just wanted to know if breathing in the nostrils is an actual thing, or if perhaps the former vice president misremembered.
Yeah. Could be.
As sad as I am to say this, it was 30-plus years ago, so maybe it was a different medical treatment.
I will say this about Joe Biden. I misremember things myself, okay? So I'm not making fun of the fact that as we get older, we do tend to forget things. I'm just not running for president. So,
all right, will I ever.
Yeah, we got a special guest.
Yeah, here. I'd like to welcome Ann Paulk to the program. Ann is the executive director of Restored Hope Network. Hey, Ann, how you doing?
Oh, what a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, Ann and I go back a long time. We were colleagues at Focus on the Family back in Colorado Springs for years.
So, Ann,
I have so many questions.
So, is it a pleasure to just be with Steve, or how about Ed and Chris? Do we count?
Okay.
If you have to. All right, so Chris brings up a good point. Since you were colleagues with Steve back at Focus on the Family, is there anything you could share with us that Steve would not share?
The check's in the mail if you say something nice.
We might know, something we could use against Steve?
I don't think there's anything. Sorry, Steve. Sorry, Ed and Chris.
Okay. So that's a loyal friend there, Steve. All right. Hey, what do you want to talk to Ann about?
So, Ann, part of your ministry, you reach out on Facebook, and you have a ministry to people who struggle with sexual identity and want to live according to a biblical ethic. Tell me what happened with you between you and Facebook the other day.
Well, I was on vacation. Things always happen when I'm on vacation. My book was banned last year while I was on vacation by Amazon. And this year, Facebook put out an announcement through a very high person in Instagram reporting to CNN that they were going to ban so-called conversion therapy groups from Facebook and Instagram. So Monday, I check our account on Restored Hope Network, which is really a ministry it's a coalition of ministries across the U.S. that help people with unwanted same-sex attraction. And I find this notice that you're not allowed to do such and such because we're protecting our community against spam or limiting how much you can do. All I was doing was scrolling down my page. I wasn't doing anything. I hadn't posted anything. There was no spam. So they were giving me essentially a warning that they may be taking action against us. And then just days later, Media Matters, a news outlet, called for the removal of our page. Happily, they shared a bunch of screenshots that were exceptional from our wall. So they made us look really good, by the way. But they called for us to be removed from Facebook and Instagram.
This is something we're seeing, and not only on Facebook, but I know states are starting to ban any kind of counseling towards people who would like to restore their godly sexuality.
Right, and you know, the odd thing is it's not really about counseling per se. It's about getting to the pastors. There was an article written many years ago that we can't get directly to religious individuals. So let's go around this direction and we can get there. The truth of the matter is it was a strong strategy at the time, and that was a decade ago. They have so far been able to prohibit counseling for minors in a number of states, but for adults it's been very questionable. And even some of the minor prohibitions have been removed. In Tampa, Florida, Liberty Counsel represented a number of counselors who were willing to help teens. And in their questioning of the city of Tampa's attorneys, have you had any ethics violation complaints? Do you know of any teens that are looking for this kind of counseling? Okay, well, why are you trying to ban this? Because there were zero that they knew of who were seeking the care, and they had no complaints about it at all. So it's very much an ideological move rather than an actual harm being caused. So just keep in mind, it's very dark marketing, and it works. But it's also built on fallacies. So they created a straw man argument of conversion therapy, so-called. It was actually created in 1992 by Douglas Haldeman, who's an APA gay activist, key member of the APA. So American Psychological Association. So there you go. You really literally have a bait-and-switch situation going on. They created something they can tear down with this image of harm and say it's immutable, of course. And meanwhile, the real thing is what they're after.
So let me get this straight, okay? That was unintentional and would have been terrible. Would have been just a really stupid play on words. But let me see if I understand accurately the situation. You do not, when I say you, you're executive director of Restored Hope Network, you do not drive up to somebody kidnap them, use duct tape over their mouths, take them to a secure location and hook up battery cables to them and engage in electroshock therapy to break their same-sex attraction. You do not do that. That's kind of the implication of what you do, so that the laws can be passed. What you actually do is those who do not want same-sex attraction, or they want to figure out how to live a Christian life while dealing with attractions and temptations that are unwanted. This is what the psychological organizations are actually out to get rid of. Do I understand that?
Yes, that's exactly it. Meanwhile, they're demeaning and making up interesting stories. In fact, most of the people who testify on news media are people who give no details about who or what they're accusing. So it's fascinating. There's nothing you can actually verify their stories with. And I find that to be troubling. I find that to be troubling for the journalistic field in major media. We know that's in trouble anyway. But for truth, for honesty, for integrity's sake, I would think people would actually want to know that people who are speaking are telling the truth.
And we keep hearing from the gay lobby, the big gay, that it's immutable. You can't change. You're gay or you're not, and you can't change. You and Kermit and a lot of our other common friends are my spiritual heroes because of what you guys have gone through and what you the dedication you have to the Word of God. Melissa Freire is another one. Talk to me about this cohort of people, these ex-gays that exist and really are just heroes to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Steve. You know, there are a lot of people who have left homosexuality, a lot of people. They've been deeply discouraged by a couple who've gone back in, who've gotten major media. But honestly, over the lifetime, over a long, even research backs this up, people are able to walk free from homosexuality. Nicolosi's study in 2000 saw major shifts in sexual orientation. They had 318 participants that were exclusively homosexual, and yet 34% of them became entirely heterosexual in identity and behavior. Carton in 2006 saw significant decreases in homosexual feelings and behaviors. Mark Yarhouse and Stanton Jones did a long-term study, probably 6 years plus. I know it was 6 years at least, and they had 23% change significantly to complete heterosexuality through ministries like ours, no evidence of harm, et cetera. So change is truly possible, and Scripture speaks to that as well, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Such were some of you, which references all the people who were in various sins prior. So possibilities are endless for those who surrender to Jesus, and that is exciting.
It is. Thank you, Ann, for joining us today. And folks, be in prayer for Ann and her ministry and all of those who are now kind of under the fire from Facebook and kind of finding it a little more difficult to do what God's asked them to do. Thanks, Ann, for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Steve, and Ed and Chris.
Thank you. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Ann. And God bless you for all that you do. We'll have you on again sometime because this is a subject that a lot of Christians are confused about, and we will explore in more detail with you at some later date, okay?
That would be a delight. Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Yeah, she's I know several of these people, and I got to tell you, and she would tell you this also, not everybody that wants to reconcile their sexuality to Christ is able to get totally rid of the temptation and the desires, and they end up living lives just dedicated to God. There, if you ever hear somebody saying, I'm giving my sexuality to God, these are the people that do that. And to me, it's just I just get so much encouragement when I watch and I know these people. They're just great
people. You mentioned
people.
Kermit. Is that Kermit Rayman?
Kermit Rayman, yeah.
We interviewed him years ago for a an AFA film that we did.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, he'll contact me about something.
He's doing some kind of vacation travel thing. He's out of the professional X-game job now. But
yeah, it's brutal out there for these people.
I
mean, it is absolutely brutal. And what Ann is facing with Facebook and others. And listen, I'm just assuming that at some point they'll come for us as well.
Yeah.
And you know, our Christians need to understand this is a spiritual battle. It is also a cultural an aspect of the culture war, and the other side doesn't play nice. So that's just part of it. All right, what else we got?
Democrats saying if they retake the Senate, they may end the filibuster.
I'm shocked at that. I am just shocked because that's sarcasm. I'm pegging out on the sarcasm meter. Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Well, no. So the filibuster is this rule in the Senate that says that you need 60 votes to really move anything. It's a way to keep things marching methodically instead of knee-jerk reaction type thing. So it almost guarantees that you need a bipartisan look at any kind of thing that's going to get through the Senate. Mm-hmm. Now, this has bitten the Democrats before. You remember, we talk often about how President Trump has appointed all these conservative justices to the bench.
Right.
He was able to do that because Democrats got rid of the filibuster on Senate nominees, on judicial nominees when they were in power. And the Republicans said, fine. And now they're powerless to stop President Trump from appointing great justices. So there's a little bit of a risk in doing this because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, as they say.
And now the filibuster is not required by the Constitution. This is just a Senate rule.
It's a rule, right.
So sometimes people will say, well, does the Constitution requires it? No, this is just something the Senate has done over the years. Now we've, at AFA, we have called for the elimination of the filibuster.
Sure.
Completely, because now it did serve a purpose, like you said, requiring bipartisan votes on bills. But because we're so polarized now, nothing gets done at all. And we have for the spending bills, we have asked for the Republicans who control the Senate now to change the rules to get rid of the filibuster. So I'm shocked because the Democrats complained every time Republicans brought this up, but now they are talking about doing it themselves.
The founders really were kind of intelligent when they did this. It's, you know what a governor is on a car that only allows you to go so fast?
Yeah, 55.
There are certain things that that they put in the Senate to kind of slow things down, like I was saying, and this is tweaking with that governor, saying, okay, we can make it go a little faster by doing this or the other thing. The Senate has always been looked at as the gentleman's and gentlewoman's chamber where everybody's just, methodically discussing
more
things.
More deliberative.
It is. They're above the fray. They're supposed to be, and the House is the place where you duke it out and everything. So it's interesting to see if this happens because this is the last vestige of this filibuster.
Right.
Everything else, it's been done away with judicial nominees and financial stuff and everything.
Yeah, and the idea is that if the Democrats were to get control of the House, the Senate, and the White House and got rid of the filibuster, there would be nothing stopping them from doing exactly what they want.
Anything they want.
Wasn't there a day in time where senators were picked by states? Legislatures.
That was the way the Constitution set it up.
Can you imagine what Ohio would look, if there wasn't a Sherrod Brown or something like that in there versus, there's a number of examples.
That was changed, I forget which amendment.
17th.
That was 17th? Okay.
Yes.
So they changed that so that senators are popularly elected rather than the legislatures.
Right.
What else we got, Steve?
This is an outlier poll, but I wanted to bring it up because it's encouraging. Anytime we get some encouraging news, there's a group called Political Polls, and I looked them up on Twitter. It's at Politic Polls on Twitter. And they came out with new battleground state polls. And listen to this. They polled Michigan, Texas, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. President Trump is leading in every one of those states against Joe Biden. 5 points up in Michigan, 4 in Texas, 3 in North Carolina and Georgia, 1 in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin.
I'm kind of surprised. When we mentioned this during our story meeting, I wasn't paying as close attention to the states where these polls were done. I'm kind of surprised that Texas and Georgia are being considered battleground states. Is that just the political reality?
Well, yeah. Texas, the Democrats have had their eyes on Texas for quite a while. Right. Remember, Beto was going to be the Democrat savior of Texas. And it never quite works out, but they're really trying to push. If they can get Texas, having New York and California and Texas, that's almost insurmountable for Republicans.
Well, Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, did say if they turn Texas blue, it's over.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't overcome the numbers, the sheer electoral numbers you're dealing with. New York, Illinois, Texas, and California.
Those are all the biggest number, the greatest haul of electoral votes.
Right.
So, and Georgia, we've seen the battle there with the mayor and the governor. That was a pretty close race last time. So, yeah, they're looking at those as battleground states.
Okay. Well, that's the political reality on the ground,
I guess. Is indeed.
What else you got?
I have a look here.
Folks, let me just, while Steve's looking, the stacks of stories that Chris and Steve bring in, I can't tell you. We leave on the cutting room floor, so to speak, probably 90% of the stories we could cover and don't get a chance to because it's just too much going on.
I should plant a tree after every day I'm on this show.
I know, right?
You should do that anyway.
Yes, I should.
Here's a media story for you. CNN's Chris Cuomo was calling out Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, because he wanted Ted Cruz to come on his show and explain something. He tweeted out, come on Cuomo primetime and make the case, Senator Ted Cruz. First question, show me the numbers, please. And this is talking about money to stay home. This is about how they're getting more money on unemployment than they would be working, so it's hard to get people to come back to work.
Right.
So Cuomo tweets out, come on, put up or shut up, to which Ted Cruz quickly writes back, I gave CNN a nearly 7-minute interview, and you ran 15 seconds on TV. When you air the interviews you already have, then maybe we can discuss new ones.
Yeah. I saw that. Cuomo was goosing him, trying to shame him into coming on.
Right?
I thought it was a great reply from the senator.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And it's, maybe this is the end. I almost hate to bring this up because it's such a sad story.
Steve, come on. Sad story? Go ahead. No,
I came across a picture which we will not post of a mom and a little girl who looks like she's about 2 or 3, barely walking, holding a sign that talks about doing something to the police. One of the most vile words you could possibly come up with. This 2-year-old is holding this sign.
And it's a little bit of a parade of folks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Listen, folks, let me just say this. I'll just go in a little bit of preach mode here, okay? Because I saw this story again in our story meeting this morning. And you know what, when the Bible says that if you harm one of these little ones, it would have been better for you never to have been born.
Yeah.
Or in another place, Jesus says, tie a millstone around your neck. That'd be better for you than to harm one of these little children. That applies to parents, too.
Yeah.
A lot of times we think of it as only applying to predators or people who teach them to disobey God or those kind of things. Folks, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Not like these parents who forget about the political aspects of what they were trying to get their kids to say, but the fact that they were teaching their children to use obscenity and be disrespectful to authority. You will answer to God for that kind of thing. Yeah. Whether you're on the political right or the political left,
right.
Better be careful.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, I started the program with a little bit of preaching and ended with a little bit of preaching.
You're a preacher. What can you say?
What can I say? we got more great preaching directly ahead and throughout the day here at American Family Radio. You've been listening to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. My thanks to Chris Woodward and Steve Jordahl.
Thank you,
guys. Folks, more great programming directly ahead. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow for Trivia Friday.